Position number 22623, Reel 11.
Ridley to Reel 11.
Yes. Eventually, we were moved up. We moved up to Perugia. We stayed there for a while. The Queens had moved on and had crossed the Adige, and there war finished. The Germans capitulated there. The next thing, when we were ordered to rush up to Austria, to Gorizia, where Tito, of course, had crossed the Morgan Line, and that was the first sight. And we were ordered to, if vehicles broke down, leave them, put people on to the other, and we rushed up there. We rushed to Gorizia, where we arrived there at night time. It was funny to see all the town lights on again. We're in Gorizia, sorting things out. The Tito's people were throwing people, cutting women's hair or throwing them in. And we used to, that's the place there where it was so dodgy, we paraded around the towns with a rear guard, cocked rifles, rear guards, and it was really dodgy there.
Why was it so dodgy?
Well, Tito's forces, who were part of us, were not at all good. Eventually we were relieved by the guards. We went up to Trieste and Monfalcone, and from there things started getting back to business. Eventually, my own brigade, 167 Brigade, were ordered down to Pola, down at the Isthmus. And because the situation was so obscure, the Russian had a colonel there and he was fomenting the trouble in the area. It was really a semi-battle atmosphere there. We always had to have platoons out in the area we were in. We went up onto the Austrian border for a while, and then we found we were moved down to Pola, down at the bottom there, the submarine base down the Isthmus. And it was dicey there. No females were allowed, no concert parties. There was one convoy up and one convoy back each day, and if you were, you weren't allowed to travel out of that, and I say from there, that was us, sort of, war sort of finished.
Were you fired on by the Titoites?
No. But what they used to do, they used to cut the telephone wires, and the poor devils that used to have to get up to cut the telephone, they, of course, were fired on and that sort of thing. And anyone travelling out of the convoy, their vans or vehicles were never seen again. They got into Pola one night, and all we had there today was an army cinema on a truck. They even got into Pola one night and pinched that from us. So, things got back to normal then. Horses came back out from England and they started the officers had their horses and that sort of thing. We were showing the flag, really, down there, that's it.
Did you see anything of the East Europeans who were forcibly sent back to Eastern Europe?
Who do...
People who had been on the German side.
Well, yes, you did, but you saw... Yes, I mean, a lot of them had, I mean... We often found a whole host of troops. The Germans used to have, they had what they called a Turkmen divisions, and they were mostly a whole load of Russians. They used to be, and that they turned and reversed around. And those were the people that we found very often when they retreated and moved out. Those are the sort of people they left there to hold you up. And they we found that they'd fight right up to the last minute, at the moment you got there with your 2 feet, and they desired straight away to be called prisoners of war, you know.
How do you feel now about having served with the Royal Fusiliers in the Second World War?
Well, I say we had 4 battalions who were actually fighting out there, and I mean, I was... Well, I... I, I, I uh, I don't regret my particular part in it, no.
Did it leave you with any after effects?
Well, yes, you now and again used to have a reoccurrence of malaria and that sort of thing, yes, which gradually went off.
Did you find it difficult to readjust after the war to civilian life?
Well, yes, I found that I found I had these worries when they came back. Of course, we had to find somewhere to live, and I used to found that very difficult to Wembley, where I'd been before the war. I went to them to a house and they said, oh no, they couldn't put me on a list and that sort of thing. You knocked at doors at Ealing and Acton, where I was at Marks and Spencer's on a half day, and yes, an Austrian or foreign person would open the door and say, yes, I've got a room you can have for about 10 quid a week, you know, sort of thing. I found that, it was difficult. The things that we'd sort of been promised, I mean, it wasn't easy to, I didn't think, no.